Okay, so think about this for a second. As engineering students, you're always trying to figure out these crazy complex systems, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if you're building a circuit,
Right.
it's got to actually do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You got to make sure a bridge won't just like collapse when something heavy drives over it.
Huge loads. Yeah.
And then there's debugging code, which, let's face it, can sometimes feel like you're lost in a maze. But it's all connected, right? It's all about understanding how intricate pieces fit together to make something bigger work.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle.
Totally. But what if those principles, those ideas that make engineered systems work, what if they're actually reflections of something even deeper, like the very nature of life itself?
Whoa, okay, now we're getting philosophical. I like it. That's a perfect way to jump into what we're going to explore today. We're going deep on the work of John von Neumann, specifically his ideas about self-reproducing automata.
Automata. That sounds like robots taking over the world or something.
Haha, not quite. But it can feel that way sometimes. Really is about understanding the theory behind complexity, self-replication, how things can copy themselves, and even the potential for evolution, but in machines.
Whoa, machines evolving. That's mind-blowing.
It really is. And the crazy thing is, we're going to see how von Neumann was drawing these parallels to biological systems, living things, like how systems, whether made of silicon chips or actual living cells, could maybe not just replicate, but get more sophisticated over time.
Just like life on Earth.
Precisely.
So to do this, we've got some pretty heavy reading material, right? Like von Neumann's actual lectures from 1949.
Straight from the source. He gave these amazing lectures at the University of Illinois. And we've also got the book that Arthur Brooks put together later, which collects and expands on a lot of von Neumann's ideas.
I'm guessing those lectures were pretty dense.
Oh, they are. But that's part of the fun. And what's even crazier is that von Neumann was exploring some of this stuff even before we really understood DNA.
Wow, that's wild. Like way ahead of his time.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll also bring in some ideas from other brilliant minds like Brenner and Patti to, get a fuller picture.
Okay, cool. So for all the engineering students listening, I know this might sound kind of theoretical. Like, why should we care about this stuff?
Right, good point. But honestly, this isn't just some intellectual exercise. Understanding von Neumann's work can give you a whole new perspective on ideas you'll see across so many engineering fields. Robotics, artificial intelligence, how any complex system changes over time, von Neumann's framework gives you some really cool mental tools to think about these things.
You're talking about the basic rules, right?
Exactly, like
Yeah.
the essential logical requirements for evolvable matter, as von Neumann put it. So understanding these rules can help us build better systems.
Right, so let's get down to it. What was von Neumann actually trying to figure out with all of this? And why is it still important today, especially for, the future engineers listening?
Okay, so von Neumann, he was really fascinated by this big difference he saw between, machines, like the things we build, and living things.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. We build stuff, but it doesn't just magically make more of itself.
Exactly. He was like, machines, they're built in factories, right?
Yeah.
And they generally break down over time. They don't spontaneously multiply. But then you look at biological organisms, they're self-replicating.
And they can actually become more complex over generations.
Right. So von Neumann's big goal was to find this kind of threshold of complexity for machines.
Like a tipping point.
Yeah, a point where they could reproduce on their own without us constantly tinkering with them and maybe even increase their complexity over time. But it's super important to understand what he meant by self-replication. He didn't just mean simple copying, like how crystals grow, that was too basic for him. He was really digging into the logical requirements for something to be evolvable.
So not just making a copy, but making a copy that can then change and become something new.
Right. Systems that can inherit variations, which might make them better adapted over time, just like in evolution.
Okay, so he wasn't just trying to design like a robot that could build another robot. He was trying to understand the rules that would allow those robots to change and adapt over time.
Precisely. He was after the logic behind evolvability in machines, which is a way more profound problem. And that leads us to a really cool idea, the separate description.
Separate description. Okay, what's that all about?
This is really key. Von Neumann said that for a system to have this potential for, open-ended evolution, you got to separate the description of the system. Think of it like the blueprint, the program, the information that defines it from the universal constructor.
So that's like the machine that actually uses that blueprint to build another copy.
Exactly. The instructions versus the thing that follows those instructions, they're not all mixed together in one blob.
Gotcha. And the source mentions that this was actually a more refined idea, right?
Yeah.
Building on what someone else had thought about before.
Yeah. So this brilliant physicist, Erwin Schrödinger, he wrote this super influential book called What is Life?
I've heard of that book.
Yeah. So in it, he proposed that chromosomes were both the blueprint and the builder, all rolled into one. But von Neumann was like, I don't think that's quite right.
So, like, Schrödinger thought that the instructions and the thing carrying out the instructions were the same thing.
Yeah, but von Neumann argued that the genetic code, what Brenner later called the code script, is actually just a description of what needs to happen. It's not the process itself.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like, think about a CAD file for a circuit board. The file itself isn't the machine that puts the circuit board together. It's just the set of instructions that the machine uses.
Perfect analogy. The CAD file is the description, and the machine that assembles the board is part of the universal constructor.
Nice. All right, so we've got this separation between the description and the constructor. Now, von Neumann came up with this specific model for a self-replicating system. It looks like a mathematical formula. A plus B plus C plus A. What are all those letters about?
All right, so let's break down the von Neumann self-replicating system. We've got A, which stands for the universal constructor. That's the machine that takes a description and actually builds another automaton based on it. Then there's B, the copier. Its job is pretty simple. Just make a perfect copy of any description you give it. And then we have C, the controller. You can also think of it as the operating system. It manages how the descriptions are handled and used.
Okay, so A builds, B copies, C controls. Got it. What about that last symbol? Is it phi?
Yeah. A, that represents the description itself, the complete set of instructions for the whole system. So A plus B plus C is the description of how A, B, and C work together to make the whole system replicate.
So it's like a description of a description. Recursive. I dig it.
Right. So how this whole thing works is pretty fascinating. The complete description, A plus B plus C, is given to the copier, B. B makes a perfect copy. One copy goes to the universal constructor, A.
To build a new machine.
Exactly. A reads those instructions and uses them to create a brand new A plus B plus C system, a new machine with all the parts. Then the second copy of the description is attached to this new machine, so it also has its own set of instructions and can reproduce. Oh, and there's also this important part where the original machine lets go of the newly built one, releases it into the wild, so to speak.
Like sending his kid off to college.
Yeah, something like that. So you see, the description has these two roles. It's actively interpreted by the constructor to build stuff, but it's also just passively copied without the copier needing to understand what it means. It's like information can be both a set of instructions and just raw data at the same time. It's so elegant. And this idea is fundamental to both life as we know it and the future of machines.
Mind blown.
Right. And von Neumann, he called these the active and passive roles of information. Active when it's being used to do something, passive when it's just being copied.
That's brilliant. And the source points out this incredible parallel to biology, right?
Oh, yeah. This is where it gets really cool. So think about how genetic information works in living things. You've got protein synthesis, where the information in messenger RNA is read by ribosomes to build proteins.
The ribosomes are like tiny factories that make the proteins.
Exactly. That's the active role. And then you've got DNA replication, where the whole DNA molecule is copied.
So the cell can divide.
Right. And that's the passive role. And what's amazing is von Neumann figured this out before we knew all the details about DNA and proteins.
Seriously, he just like intuited it.
Pretty much. He understood the logic of it. He knew that for something to self-replicate and evolve, the information, the description had to have these two roles. And, you know, the source mentions Brenner again and this concept of the gene as a symbolic representation.
Symbolic representation, you mean like a code?
Yeah, basically. Brenner was a key figure in figuring out the genetic code, and he realized that a gene is like a fundamental code script for life.
Like a set of instructions for building an organism.
Exactly. And this fits perfectly with von Neumann's idea of the description. It's a set of symbols that encodes the structure and function of a whole system.
So for it to be a description, it's got to be in some kind of language, right?
Definitely. And for the universal constructor to understand those instructions, there has to be a semantic code. That's how the machine knows what each symbol in the description represents. When it sees a certain symbol, it knows what action to take, or what part to use, but the copier, it doesn't care about any of that.
It just makes sure it copies the symbols exactly right.
Yep, just the symbols, the syntax. It's like if you're writing code, the syntax is making sure you've got all the semicolons and parentheses in the right places, but the semantics is what the code actually does.
Right, like one's the grammar and the other's the meaning.
Exactly. And, you know, the genetic code is like the ultimate example of this kind of language in biology.
Where the sequence of those letters in DNA tells the cell what proteins to build.
Precisely. And in computers, it's all about logical gates and how they're arranged.
Okay, this is all super fascinating. But von Neumann, he wasn't just interested in self-replication. He wanted to know how things could evolve, right? How does his model account for that?
Okay, so this is where it gets even more interesting. Von Neumann introduced another component to his system called D.
D
for? What? You can think of it as D for differentiator.
Okay, differentiator. So this is where the changes happen.
Exactly. The idea is that D can be modified without messing up the core functions of A, B, and C. And if there's a change in the description of D, a mutation, that change will be passed on to the next generation.
Oh, I see. It's like if there's a mistake in the blueprint for building a certain part, the next machine will have that same mistake. But if the construction crew makes a mistake, that doesn't affect the blueprint.
A perfect way to put it. And this is really the core of open-ended evolution, where systems can keep generating new forms over time. It's also tied to natural selection, where those variations that give an organism an advantage are more likely to be passed on.
So it's not just about copying. It's about copying with the possibility of making changes along the way.
Exactly. And those changes are what allow for adaptation and evolution.
So a crystal, it just keeps making copies of itself, but it doesn't evolve because there's no way to introduce those variations in the instructions.
Right. Von Neumann was really clear about that. He said non-trivial self-reproduction needs to include the possibility of heritable changes.
Not just making the same thing over and over again. Okay, so this brings up another interesting point, this idea that how programmable a system is affects how well it can evolve.
Ah, yes. The trade-off between programmability and evolvability. This is super relevant for engineering.
For sure. Like, if we're designing systems, we need to think about this balance.
Absolutely. Think about it this way. If your building blocks are really simple, your instructions need to be super detailed to make anything complex. But if your building blocks are already complex and have interesting behaviors on their own, you can get away with simpler instructions.
So, like, using pre-made modules instead of individual transistors.
Exactly. And this ties into evolution, because if your description is super detailed, any little change can mess everything up.
Like a single typo in a huge program.
Yeah. But if your description is more abstract and relies on the inherent behavior of the parts, the system can be more robust to change. It can take a few hits and still work. But the downside is that it might limit what kinds of things the system can evolve into.
It's like more flexibility, but maybe less precision.
Right. So highly programmable systems can be very efficient, but also very fragile. Less programmable systems are tougher, but maybe less versatile.
And this connects to that brittleness issue with early computer models, right?
Yeah. So those early attempts to implement von Neumann's ideas in computers, they often use things like cellular automata.
I've seen those, like those little grids where the cells change color based on rules.
Yeah, those are a good example. And the problem was they were often really fragile. Any little error in the code and the whole thing would just break down.
Because everything was so precisely defined in the code?
Exactly. And von Neumann himself even thought that maybe focusing too much on specific computer architectures was missing the point. His theoretical framework, the A, B, C, D system, is more abstract. It doesn't say how those components have to be implemented, just that they need to exist.
And living things, like a single cell, are way more robust than those early computer models.
Oh, for sure. The source talks about redundancy in the genetic code as a big part of that.
Redundancy.
Yeah, so there are multiple ways to code for the same amino acid in DNA.
So even if there's a mistake during copying, it might not change the final protein that gets made.
Exactly. That's a great example of a system that's designed to handle errors.
So it's like having backups for your backups.
Yeah.
But the source also points out that while this redundancy makes the process more reliable, the actual code itself, the meaning of those DNA letters, that's still really sensitive to change.
That's a great point. So there's this robustness at the level of the process, but the fundamental mapping between the code and its function, that's still got to be very precise. It can't change too much without causing problems.
And this is important for engineering too, right? Like, we can build in redundancy to make our systems more reliable, but the fundamental logic, that still needs to be right.
Absolutely. Okay, so to wrap things up, let's talk about von Neumann's legacy. The source makes a pretty bold claim, saying he's a foundational figure in biology, right up there with Darwin and Mendel.
Wow. High praise.
For real.
Yeah.
But it's not an exaggeration. Turing and von Neumann, they basically laid the groundwork for understanding how inheritance works in evolution.
I never thought of it that way, but it makes sense. They gave us the theoretical framework for understanding how information gets passed down and how that can lead to changes over time.
Exactly. And this isn't just theoretical anymore. Think about things like synthetic biology, RNA vaccines, CRISPR. All these cutting-edge technologies are based on our understanding of biological information.
Wow, so we're actually using this stuff to manipulate life at its core.
We are. It all comes down to material control of symbolic information, being able to manipulate physical matter based on coded instructions, and that's at the heart of both computation and biology.
That's pretty profound. Okay, so let's recap. What are the big takeaways our listeners, especially the engineering students, should remember from all of this?
All right, so here are the key ideas. Number one, separate the description from the constructor. Keep those two things distinct. Number two, information has two roles, active and passive. It's both instructions and raw data. Number three, for something to evolve, it needs to have a description that can be changed and passed down. That's how you get variations. And finally, all of this is deeply connected to how evolution works in biology.
And for all the future engineers out there, think about how this applies to what you're building. Whether it's a self-driving car or a new kind of computer chip, these ideas matter.
Yeah, like how do you build systems that are robust but can also adapt and change over time? How do you balance programmability with evolvability?
Big questions. So here's one final thought to chew on. As we get closer and closer to merging biology and technology, how can these ideas from von Neumann help us build even more complex and adaptable systems? What are the ethical implications of all this? What happens when we blur the line between living and non-living?
Whoa, yeah. What does it even mean for something to be alive when we can design and build it from scratch?
So many things to think about. And that's what this deep dive is all about. Thanks for joining us.